Let's go ahead and have a seat. Just a Selah moment, where we just let Ken, if you would, just play. We are post-resurrectional Christians. And I think sometimes it's kind of, for me it is, it's kind of hard to wrap my spirit around the suffering of the cross, because we know that just because it's Friday, Sunday's coming, and we're on the backside of all of that. And so let's just have just this moment, just to kind of, you know, because we're on the backside of that, I think that ought to make a difference in us. And now he's already come and he's breathed into us. She thinks we're getting ready to go to pray for the kids. Don't you love this? Mommy loves me, it says on her shirt. So does Jesus. Genesis, so does Jesus. Should make a difference. He's breathed his breath into us, and his spirit is now in us. And so just in your own way, either aloud or in your spirit, just thank him. And let's make it a Selah, thanking, and you know, a thanking moment. Jeff, this is your first Easter as a believer. And where's another guy that was baptized? Where's that guy I met again? Right back there. Man, I am so messed up. I can't remember your name, and I just talked to you. Zach, this is your first Easter. Father God, we know that unfortunately for the first century, and yet fortunately, had there not been a crucifixion, there would have not been a resurrection. And so God, as believers in the 21st century, we say thank you. We say thank you. We say thank you. Thank you for the cross. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, man, what a blessing to have Scott Claybrook here. Pastor Scott, come and preach, man. Let her rip.
on? Doug, can you do me a favor real quick? You see that stool? Would you grab that for me? So here's an inside joke. So when I first started coming to Centerpoint, I was such a mess. And Doug was, along with many others, were thank you, minister of stool. That's what he used to call me, minister of stool. Yes, you did.
You didn't call you there.
Feels good to be home. Feels good to be home. All right, I had to mess with him. I had to. We're going to get real serious here in a second, so I had to get some jokes out. But. Yeah, it's so good to be home. It's a good day. Amen. It's a hard day. It's a hard day. It's good. It's good to bring our church families together, Legacy Point, Center Point. It's so good. It's so good. God's doing incredible things in our city, and it's just amazing. It's amazing to be together. Again, a good day, but a hard day. I want to pray, and as I do that, I want to ask you to get your Bibles out. Everybody, if you got a Bible, if not, we can find you one. Psalm 22 is where we're heading tonight. Psalm 22. Let's pray. Father God, this is a privilege. God, to be called Christian. God, when we look at the cross, it's a privilege to be called Christian. Little Christ, yet we had to not go and suffer on a cross. We placed our faith in one who did for us. And so, Father God, tonight we are moved at the heart to take a moment, to take time to meditate on your sacrifice. We are so overwhelmed, God, by your mercy and your grace that were purchased for us on Calvary. You climbed that hill to Golgotha and you did it with love dripping down your brow as you sweat blood for us. Father, we thank you for your love tonight. We thank you for your love that ran red at the cross. And God, we ask tonight that you would come and meet with us. Holy Spirit of God, come. Come, Spirit of God. Would you come and lead us, God? As I open my mouth, would you fill it? Would you cause this to be something that we just reflect on your goodness, God, and we're moved to action. God, I pray that tonight would be both reflection and action at the cross. That we would be here to experience your goodness and to do business with you at the cross. And so, Father, come now and get your glory because you've paid it all and you're worth it. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight is kind of hard. It's kind of hard. Doug nailed it. You know, we're post-resurrection believers. And if you're not a believer in this place, you have an opportunity to do that tonight. But we're post-resurrection, meaning what had to happen has happened, and we get to reap all the benefits. We get to reap all the benefits, all the lavish benefits of being ones who are saved by faith through grace alone. But this week, as I was meditating on a day to weep, that's what I was asked to preach on, a day to weep, I was completely smitten by Psalm 22. And I was smitten by Psalm 22 because I think often in my own life, I'll speak for me, I won't speak for you, but it's probably true for you too. In my own life, I find myself taking for granted the cross. I find myself not really understanding, meditating, thinking about, ruminating through the seriousness of what happened some 2,000 years ago this day on a wooden beam where a man, scratch that, God-man, died for me and for you. I think I take it for granted a lot. And so this week, last Friday, the Lord encountered me. He actually apprehended me one morning with Psalm 22 and began to speak to me about the significance of what he experienced on the cross. And we're going to take tonight, and we're going to do just that. We're going to dig deep in meditation and understanding on what he felt, I believe, on that cross. You see, at the cross some 2,000 years ago, the unthinkable happened. God died. He died. The God of the universe died. The hero died for the villain. We are the villain. And the hero, this doesn't happen in stories, he died for us. God died some 2,000 years ago. He laid down his life for me and for you. It's unthinkable, the love that ran red at Calvary. And yet, at the same time, the unthinkable was thought of before the creation of the world is, in fact, the case. Before anything was created, before a single blade of grass existed, before a human being set forth on the earth, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had it within their heart that they knew they were going to have to die for the very creation they were about to speak forth and create, because he's a God who's all-knowing, and he knows the beginning from the end. So the unthinkable happened some 2,000 years ago, yet it was thought through before the creation of time. But what's so crazy to me about Psalm 22, and what I really just want us to really get into tonight, is the fact that it was also thought of in the heart of David. This is a psalm written a little over 1,000 years prior to the crucifixion of Christ. It wasn't written by Christ, by the way. But when we walk through it, you would have thought David was on that cross. It is eerie how detail-packed this is. I mean, I spent the week looking at even medical accounts of crucifixion and the significance of what happens detail for detail. That was not easy. But David has it right here. And so what I think is so powerful about Psalm 22 is that although the unthinkable happened some 2,000 years ago, God died, he thought it through before the foundation of the world, and then he put it into the heart of a man who had his heart that he might understand the significance of the God whose love was going to run red even for him. And so tonight, I want to welcome us, I want to invite us to do the very same thing. To be a people who seek to unite ourselves intimately with God and experience in the way that we can what he experienced on the cross. Tonight, we gaze in pain, but we also gaze in amazement at the internal conversation I believe Jesus had even on the cross. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He said it out loud. And yet, even the last verse, the Lord has done it, it is finished, was spoken out loud. Could it be, Jesus knew this psalm in and out? Could it be that this was the internal dialogue of his thought process while he hung there, stretched out for you and for me? I'm not saying it necessarily was. I'm saying, could it be? And as we go through it tonight, I want us to go through it from his perspective. Because in Psalm 22, we see this radical dichotomy, this radical two worlds colliding, where you have a full God hanging on the cross, but you have a full man hanging on the cross. And you experience what he experiences as the divine and as a man as he was on that nailed crossbeam. So let's go through it verse by verse. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. Yet, you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. You delivered them when barrenness had come over Sarah and you birthed forth hope. You delivered them, O God, when the sea parted wide as you brought them out of slavery and into freedom. You delivered them, God, our fathers, those who came before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You delivered them and their people, the 12 tribes, as they came through season after season. You delivered them when they experienced Goliath and kings that had gone the wayward way. You delivered them. You delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued, and in you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I'm a man who's like a worm and not a man, I'm scorned by mankind and despised by the very people that I created. I'm despised by the very people that I created when I spoke forth my word in Genesis 1:26, and I said, let us create man in our image, and then dust became life-filled bodies that I love. I'm despised and rejected by them like a man of sorrows, and I've been rejected by the very ones I came to save. They've considered me not. They looked at me with as if I was not one with majesty, and they scorned me. They hated me. Beat me, and they bruise me. As with one whom men hide their face, they despise me. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. They say, he trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet, You are he who took me from the womb. You, Father, made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you I was cast from my birth, a perfect birth, where spirit became one with flesh. I don't even know how it worked, but there I was casting myself on you as my God, as I was God, yet I was man. You've always been there. From my very mother's womb, you have been my God. I'm asking you, be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. You see, Father, many bulls, they have encompassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan, they've surrounded me like proud and ravening wolves. They've come like ravening and roaring lions. Their mouths are open wide at me, and I'm poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. It sticks there because I was flogged over and over and over again as they whipped me with leather and metal and bone shards tied together as they ripped my flesh from my very bones down to the very bones, and I bled and I bled and I bled and I bled, and that was even before they put these arms on this cross. I bled. And my body's given way because physically I can't help but thirst, because the amount of blood loss makes my body say, you are thirsty. I thirst. I thirst. I thirst. For righteousness. I thirst for the wicked to know your goodness, O God, because they beat me as if I was not you, and I am God, and they kill, they're killing, they're crucifying me. I'm poured out like water, and my heart is like wax. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all of my bones. Because my shoulders are out of joint. Because when they drove those nails in my wrists, they did it right through the main artery, and I can't feel. And my shoulders are out of joint, and so I have to lift myself up to breathe. And every time I do it, I feel that same pain and that same main nerve and my same feet that they drove the nails through. I can barely breathe. I can count all my bones. Father. They snare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them as if I was nothing. And for my clothing, they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. And then it happened. I believe he looked up. Then it happened. I believe he saw you. You and you. He saw you and you and you and you. He saw you. Hebrews tells us it was the joy set before him that he endured the cross. I believe at this moment something would have happened in him when he saw the crowd of people that he died for, that he was being crucified for. And the story changes. And he says, I will tell you. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. I'll praise you, Father, because it was worth it. Every moment of this excruciating agony was worth it because they're worth it. Every single one of them. They are my joy, and they are the reason that I came, and they're the reason that I'm here, and they're the reason that I'm poured out like water. It's for the joy set before me. And they're it. My brothers, I will tell them of your name, of your character, and I'll live it out. Not just tell them, but I'll show them your character, your faithfulness. I will tell of your name to my brothers. You are faithfulness. Your very name is your character, and you are faithful to the end. To make a way for them where there is no way. Oh, you who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when he cried to him, because he hears me now. From you, Father, comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. I have done it, and I will see it through. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. And they will. And I wonder, and I just wonder, as I began to meditate on this verse, I think it to be no question. I just have to believe that Jesus knew this psalm inside and out. Could it be that he realized that although he was about to be separated from the Father for the very first time, that it was worth it so the nations could be forever connected? As he says, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations, they shall worship before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord. And he rules over the nations. Father, it was worth us separated. It was the most painful thing. I did no wrong, yet I became sin, and we were separated, but it was worth it that they all of them, my desire, the nations, might come and know you as Father. Kingship belongs to no other. All the prosperous of the earth, those who have found their solid rock in faith, all those who have come to know their prosperity as faith and faith alone, where God the rich became poor that the poor might become rich, all the prosperous of the earth eat and worship before him. And they shall bow, all who go down to the dust, even the one, the weakest of them, who could not keep himself alive. You see, posterity, all the future generations, the church shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation that they shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. They, the indestructible church that's been made indestructible by my destructible body, is going to proclaim my goodness to the future generations. It's going to happen, Father. It's going to happen, Father. And they're going to proclaim it, that he has done it. Yes, that it is finished. The excruciating scene of the cross. So excruciating that the word excruciating actually even comes from crucifixion. So excruciating, yet temporary. and this temporary, momentary, unbelievable pain gave way into eternal glory. As God became a man, lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, and come Sunday will raise a perfect resurrection. Amen. And so tonight, church, we meditate as Jesus did on the agony of the moment, but the future glory that is to be revealed. And we come before him tonight as a people who through faith have been blood bought, and we do business at the cross tonight. Amen. I want to beg of you tonight that we would take a moment to respond in repentance at the agony and the beauty and the glory and the mixed feeling that is the cross. That we would take a moment to lay down whatever it is that we brought in here at the cross, where it belongs. Kenny, would you come back up? I want to encourage us that God is here. That the post-resurrection Jesus walked in the room by his Spirit, and he says, it's available to you. That cross that you just heard about, that sacrifice that made you white as snow, is available. And as we take communion together, we remember just that. That his body was broken that we might be made whole. And so tonight, church, I beg of you, whatever you're working through, bring it to the cross. Are you one who says, I cannot accept his love? I'm not good enough. I'm a bad person. He loves you. His love ran red for you. You don't get to say that anymore through faith in Jesus. You're new. Are you one that is caught up in religiosity? Checklist after checklist, judgment after judgment, bitterness in your heart, lay it at the cross. Lay it at the cross. Is it an addiction? Are you struggling with substance or pornography or hatred or greed or shopping envy or whatever it is? Are you addicted to something? Lay it at the cross. Have you ever believed in Jesus? Today could be your day. Those arms were stretched wide for you. Bring it to the cross. Pray and ask him to forgive you of your sin. And for him, this Jesus, the one and only, to be your God. So church, I just want to encourage you that as we meditate on his goodness in this Good Friday, as we meditate on a sacrifice that's worth it all, responding is the only right next step. So I want to ask Kenny to sing over us, maybe at the cross. And I want to ask us to take communion, not alone, but together, a small group. And I want to encourage you to do business at the cross tonight. Whatever your struggle may be, fill in the blank, bring it to him. Repentance is a beautiful thing. And the sacrifice of the cross, there's no other greater scene to draw us into that place. And so as Kenny leads us now in worship and sings over us, please just come. We have two stations, okay? Take communion and take it together, because the power of that blood, of that body broken for us, is freedom in Christ alone. Let's do that now.
Scripture says, that after they sang a hymn, they went out.
In the morning when I
Lord God, you gave us Jesus. And we commit our lives to leaving this place to give those within our sphere of influence Jesus. In whose name we have worshiped, in whose name we have given our monies, in whose name we have come face to face through the psalmist David in Psalm 22 with the cross. Thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Legacy. We are so proud of you, and we're so proud of your pastor as he both your pastors, actually, of Pablo as well, as we watched the news of a week or two ago. In this difficult shooting, and we have been praying along with you guys in spirit for Darian and Tayshawn, but we're so proud of you that you are taking Jesus into the first ward. God bless you guys, and God bless Center Point. Give somebody a hug. See ya.